You're listening to The Front Row. I'm St. John Flynn. Karen Sitter is an Israeli-born, New York-based artist whose experimental videos mix disjointed cinematic, literary, and theatrical conventions to illuminate issues and situations that relate to the interpersonal and private aspects of people's lives. Signature components of Ms. Sitter's work include the playful use of timing, editing and camera angles, fractured narrative structure, and the juxtaposition of original scripted footage with appropriated and manipulated clips from the internet and cable news networks. Diverse Works is currently presenting the first major survey in the United States of her creative output. The show, titled Video Art Manual, includes seven of her videos, along with related drawings, texts, and photographs. Ms. Sitter took Houston Public Radio's Troy Schultz on a tour of the installation.
Karen?
Yes?
Welcome to the front row. And welcome back to Houston.
Thanks. Hi.
So the name of the exhibition is Video Art Manual. Video art, do you feel like that's a necessary term to kind of describe what you do?
This is the name of it. Like, this is my job. It's not like I'm standing for it, or this is the medium I think is the most important medium in the mediums of art. But this is the way it's called, or this is where I'm succeeding. So I guess this is we should communicate on this name.
Mm-hmm. How is the experience of watching one of your films different from watching another filmmaker's work?
This is video art, because filmmaking is more about like the story itself. It's more about the characters and the story of one or several characters. And video art is more about the form, like form of storytelling or form of editing, or I don't know, the form of video. Also, you can shoot with film and it still be called video art. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why I think also people not really, it's just a new medium, so not really lots of people put lots of energy in this, because that's why people, I think, not so interested in this, because there is no story to follow. I have stories to follow, but I just do it to seduce the audience, not because I really care about the story or about the characters. And there are no interesting characters, because this is not the point of video art. It's more about how to tell a story.
How did you come to start doing this? What was there a sort of inciting experience that brought you to?
Yeah, it's like I don't think I've ever, like everything that is important in my, too important in my life never starts with a big important insight. Or it's always by mistake, I guess. So I was studying art and I was doing mostly drawings, and I got bored. Also, I'm not such a great drawer. Drawing also, it's such an old art that it's hard to be extremely good so quickly with it. And then I got bored of it, and I knew that video art is new, and I wanted to try it. And my father, and it's really become, these are the times that it's become like 10 years ago. It was easy to buy a camera suddenly, a video camera. Before that, you couldn't do things like that. And my father bought a video camera, and I had friends that were editors. So I thought it's going to be easy because it's video art. It's not really developed. You know, you put 4 seconds in a loop and everybody likes it. So I wrote a script based on my friend's life, and I shot it, and I gave it to a friend of mine to edit it. And I enjoyed it immediately, and I kept on doing it. And slowly I was getting developed, and also I started doing everything by myself and learning it.
And when you work, do you sort of meticulously plan what you're going to do, or do you work more sort of instinctually?
I write the script. I don't know if meticulously, but anyhow, instinct could still, you know what you do, and it could come together, because when I write, I do it by intuition. Mm-hmm. And I just read, because I slowly learn and I know what's going to work, what not. But I don't improvise on set, or I don't do documentary stuff. It's all scripted very, very well. And sometimes when I'm editing, I need to survive, like some things are not working. And then I'm fixing things in the editing. But lately I'm quite careful with the scripts, and I'm working a lot on them, that I won't have mistakes during editing.
I guess we should sort of describe some of these films.
Yeah.
Now, one film that I think is from 2008 was Four Seasons.
2009. Four Seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, these Four Seasons. Yeah, Four Seasons. And this was a very interesting film. It seems to be sort of obsessed with fakeness almost. There's there's the fake snow that sort of that blows through this apartment, and then there's of course the fake blood that's.
How do you know it's fake? We killed five pigs.
Well, it comes out of a bottle, so yeah. What was the inspiration for that film?
And the inspiration, I had a deadline. I had to prepare for an exhibition in London, so I tried to think what British people like to watch. So I have one British friend, and he likes Jack Smith. It's like before Andy Warhol, is like campy kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. So I went to Uberweb. It's a website for art, video art. And I watched Jack Smith, and actually the sound of the music, it's Ferrantine Teicher. It's from the beginning of Flaming Creatures, I think, the movie of Jack Smith. Mm-hmm. And I copied it from Uberweb. That's why it's a bit, not such a great quality. And that's why I knew that would be the beginning, because it's such an exciting music.
And it plays on a record player.
And that's why I put a record player, because it's such a bad quality. So I thought I need a record player. No one will believe that the music will come out from like a CD player. It was after Christmas, and I really wanted to burn a Christmas tree because I'm Jewish. So I knew I need a reason to burn a Christmas tree. And I know that British people like spectacles, like Damien Hirst with a diamond skull. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be cool to have snow, fake snow in the house. And then I had to find a story that will allow this kind of things to happen. And then that was the hard part.
So you had imagery in mind ahead of time, and then the story came after.
Yeah, some imagery, and I had to fill it, to mm-hmm. stuff it inside. Yeah, I have also all kinds of concept ideas. I knew that there are going to be three people, but only two people will be seen. And that's why I shouted Stella. Because I thought about Roman Polanski with the tenant, or that there will be one secret person that is not there.
And also to kind of, to go along with the idea of these sort of, these fake things that kind of pop up in the blood, and the acting style is very unemotional, sort of deadpan. They're saying these very emotional things to each other, but with just no sort of emotional connection at all.
Yeah, I think it's because it's like embarrassing me. I'm like not doing really big quality production with wonderful actors that you can find one out of a million, you know? So if they will do this stuff and you see it's video, it will be pathetic. So I think the best is to tell everyone we know we are faking it and everything, so no one gonna degrade himself and try to act like something else. And you need to get a point by yourself and figure out some parts in your head. And anyhow, you saw Daniel Day-Lewis in your life, so you can imagine.
Imagine Daniel Day-Lewis on the role.
Exactly.
In Video Art Manual, if you could call it a narrative, there seems to be this sort of specter of solar flares that's kind of hanging over this piece.
Yeah.
And you use a lot of different footage that you shot yourself, and also some clips things from news shows and all kinds of things. What inspired this piece? Because at the same time, you are sort of referencing what you're doing by these titles that are suggesting how you can make a good piece of video art.
Yeah, not good piece.
Or
I can make video art.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been asked to do something for a German magazine, art magazine, and I got paranoid with this solar flame story. I read it like 5-6 years ago in the news, and I got really afraid. And also the first thing I thought to myself, I'm going to lose my job because I'm doing video art and I'm going to stop. There won't be electricity for several months. And then I need to do drawings. And then I thought also people will need to reach me. And for some reason I thought that phones are not on electricity, like old phones. That's why I found this is without thinking about the movie, I found the duck phone that is appearing in the video.
Right. And in that piece, you actually describe how bad acting is better for video art.
Well, I don't know. I may be excusing myself or something. No, it makes sense.
Well, tell me about the new piece, Vengeance.
It's quite nice. It's three episodes out of seven. I just shot the three, and I finished 2 days ago the last one, which is the first one but the last one to edit. It's like a telenovela or like a soap opera, but of course not like really much more fragmented. But I used it. It was the first movies I did in New York. And it was a nightmare, the production of doing it. It was 2 weeks, and I fired some people, and I didn't sleep or eat for like a few days. But it really came out good, and we have some nice locations, and the actors are fine. And it's very, very colorful, and I try to make it very dense. Also, like, that you will always have or, like, something visually nice or something deep or something like that, like artificially deep, like a relation between a mother and a child, or like a husband cheating on his wife in his wedding day. And it's all related to a story that you, every chapter you get more of the story, but you, I don't know, I didn't write even the 7 chapters maybe, but in the end you will never get everything, but you will get what is going on slowly. I mean, you do get rewarded by watching these things. Yeah. Hmm. So it's nice. It's actually very, because it's the first American movie, and I think what is very, very noticeable in American language or stuff like that is that it's super accessible. So it's like junk food or something. You eat it fast, and it's really fast, like very easy to please, I think, on the first glance. So that's the nice thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, your work is funny, and it's visually beautiful, and like you said, you know, it can be deep too. It's wonderful work, and thank you so much for talking with us on the Front Row.
Thanks. Thank you too.
Diverse Works presents a video art manual by Karen Sitter. This is the final show to be presented in the gallery at Diverse Works' present warehouse location on I-10 the East Freeway. At the end of the month, Diverse Works moves into its new location at the corner of Fannin and Claiborne in Midtown, and the Karen Sitter exhibition will move with it. There's more information on the websites of Diverse Works and Karen Sitter, and you'll find links to both of those at thefrontrow.org.